Marvelicious Toys is brought to you in part by Dorkside Toys. At DorksideToys.com, you can get the latest Marvel toys, as well as Star Wars, G.I. Joe, The Walking Dead, and more. Run by toy fans, you can be assured your order will be given great attention and packed with care. Sign up to their social channels now for stock alerts, reviews, and toy and movie news. DorksideToys.com. You'd be a dork not to shop there. Welcome to Marvelicious Toys, hosted by Justin and his amazing friends, Arnie and Marjorie. We bring you news and reviews of Marvel toys, statues, and more, because not all Marvel collections can be bagged and boarded. They're not just toys, they're Marvelicious.
Hello and welcome to issue 138 of Marvelicious Toys. This is Marjorie.
This is Arnie.
Hi, honey bunnies. This is Justin.
Are we going to rob the place?
No, I'm just channeling my inner RDJ.
You want to go hang with him, don't you?
Figure if I imitate him, maybe it'd be a little... Nah, I think he'd probably be creeped out.
Probably, yeah.
I'd be like that dude in Iron Man 3 in the TV truck outside.
Yes, that would exactly be it.
With the horrible tattoo. I want to go hang with Robert Downey Jr. I'm really excited because there is a contest going on where you can donate to a charity, and when you donate, you're entered into a drawing along with about a million other people, where one of you gets to go to the Avengers Age of Ultron premiere and meet Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, I'm usually not in for contests like that, but first of all, it's for a good cause. Second of all, it's Robert Downey Jr. It would be fun just to hang out with him for a night.
I bet what you guys get is a very controlled meet and greet, and then you don't get to hang out with him for the night, though.
Probably, but you'd at least get that very controlled meet and greet and the autograph.
We do. Does it say autograph?
Well, I'm sure if you're there and you've paid the charity money, he wouldn't say no. Now, I'm really wondering about remortgaging the house. Because there is one left. It's $50,000. But if you pay $50,000, you can visit the set of Captain America Civil War and meet Robert Downey Jr.
Wow.
It's a lot of money, but it's a guarantee. If you don't want to do that whole contest thing, if you just want to buy the contest and actually go to the Civil War set, where, yes, Robert Downey Jr. is going to be there, but depending on the day, Chris Evans might be there.
New Spider-Man might be there, whoever that might be.
Sebastian Stan, Anthony Mackie, Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think, though, that for $50,000, which, I mean, yeah, to us, we're like, okay, yeah, you just take on a second mortgage. It's no big deal. But to someone who could just write the check for that amount, it's probably not going to happen for all of those people.
Yeah. What I love about the $50,000 is you can donate $50,000. $1,000 for this, and it says in big letters, flight and hotel not included.
So can you donate like $48,500 and take care of the rest that way?
It doesn't even say where it's filming. I would assume Los Angeles or Pittsburgh, but what if they're doing an on-set South American location and I have to fly there?
It's filmed in Cleveland.
Yes, but we don't know what the script of this movie is. What if it needs to go to Wakanda?
Illinois? There's a Wakanda, Illinois. That would be really nice.
If I didn't want to remortgage the house and I just wanted to spend an obscene amount of money, oh, the poster is sold out. I was considering briefly $1,000 gets you a framed Avengers Age of Ultron teaser poster signed by Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, that wouldn't be too shabby either. He's just kind of pimping himself out there, isn't he?
For $1,000, I was trying to decide if a impersonal autograph was worth $1,000 from Robert Downey Jr. And I was hemming and hawing. To be honest, I have a Google search saved in case he does any charity dinners again, because we missed one in the area. And those are usually $1,000 a plate or so. And for a personalized opportunity, yeah, I'd do that. But for a unpersonalized one, so now I'm left, there's the $2,000 one where you get the framed Avengers Age of Ultron signed by Robert Downey. Now, I am already put in the supporter, which is what enters me into that contest. So I'm not going to win, but I can hope.
Sure. You got better chances of winning this than you do the lottery, right?
No, because everyone who bought those posters got 10,000 entries into the contest.
Yee.
And the $2,000 posters get you 20,000 entries into the contest.
I still stand by the fact that it's better odds than the lottery. Because somebody is going to win.
Sure.
And the odds of one name getting picked is the same throughout. Now, the people with 10,000 entries have more chances, but their odds are the same.
I got really excited because I saw a replica Iron Man suit signed by Robert Downey Jr. for $25,000. And I'm like, you know, that's how much would an actual like replica Iron Man suit cost? That would probably be at least 10. Maybe that's what I remortgaged the house for. But then Marjorie points out that Robert Downey Jr., be him a petite man though he is taller than 39 inches. And then I realized it's one of the legendary scale figures from Sideshow that he autographed.
They're a little tricky with that one.
Oh, thank goodness for Marjorie. You could have had the worst $25,000 hangover ever.
It could have been like Spinal Tap with Stonehenge.
You know what, though? I probably would have gotten that autographed poster for $1,000 if this had started 2 days later and started after last week's new third Age of Ultron trailer hit, because the first trailer was just amazing. When I saw that at New York Comic Con, and then when we talked about it when it was finally officially released shortly after that, just such a great trailer. The second one was good. You know,
it was just a little bit longer. It didn't really reveal much more that second one, but
yeah, it had a few extra quick cuts, but nothing as mind-blowing as that first trailer. But now comes the third trailer, and as good as the first, don't you think?
If I wasn't geeked up before, I'm in geeked up overload now. I was upset to find out that it's only March right now. Like, my body wants it to be April already. But, man, I'm telling you, it's, what, we're about a month and a half away from this. Did we talk about before how it'd be nice to, like, maybe slip into a coma or something and have somebody wake us up on the day?
As I get older, that becomes less appealing.
Now, let me talk to Jess about this, because Arnie and I have discussed this, and I was like, just buy my ticket and get the free crap. But the movie marathon, what do you think of that, Justin? Are you going to do it?
I'm not a movie marathon guy. I'm just not. Like, I'm good for maybe 4 hours of sitting tops. After that, I get too restless or I fall asleep, one of the two.
Over the holidays, Marjorie was laid up. She'd had some surgery, unexpected. And so we kind of allowed our listeners to live the Avengers films with us as we did our own marathon of about one film a day, maybe two on certain days, right? I did that in anticipation so I could refresh myself on all the films for Age of Ultron, never thinking that they would do an 11 movie marathon.
Good God, that's a full day, if not more, right?
It starts at 6 p.m. on Wednesday night and ends probably around 10 p.m. on Thursday night. And there is no go home and sleep break. 6 p.m., Iron Man. 8:25 p.m., Incredible Hulk. 10:35 p.m., Iron Man 2. 1 a.m., Thor. 3:10 a.m., Captain America, the First Avenger. This just sounds horrible. 5:30 a.m., The Avengers. This is the weird one. 8:48 a.m., Iron Man 3.
You know that weird feeling you get when you go to like a late afternoon, early evening movie and the sun's still out and then you come out and it's dark?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Imagine this. Imagine going in at 6 p.m. and not leaving till 10 p.m. the next day.
And then 11:15 a.m., Thor the Dark World. 1:45 p.m., Captain America the Winter Soldier. 4:20 p.m., Guardians of the Galaxy. And then 7 p.m., the only one being shown in 3D, because could you imagine a 12-hour 3D movie headache?
Not going to happen.
But the only one listed as being in 3D, 7 p.m. the next night, Avengers Age of Ultron. I so want to do this the way Marjorie wants to run a marathon. just like that test of endurance. Can my body do it? And if I come out the other side, I can get like, you know how you have, because you've done a half marathon, you've got that sticker on your car that says, yeah, what, like 13.1,
which
one?
Is half of the miles, yes.
I could come out and just like have a big Avengers logo and put in at 27.5 for the number of hours I sat in my ass in that theater.
I can only imagine the smell in that theater around 9 a.m. the next morning.
Can I just implore anyone who does this to get up and walk around, because deep vein thrombosis is a real condition that can kill you. Maybe take an aspirin or two to thin the blood. I am not a doctor. I don't know if that's a great idea, but it's what sounds good to me.
I wonder if you can leave and come back.
Yes, you can. Which would be my plan. If they do this in my town, I can't even find one within a 4-hour drive of me right now, but they've been known to add theaters before. Now, for the less intense amongst us, which I believe is everyone, there is also just the Avengers double feature starting at 4 p.m. You can watch just Avengers and Avengers 2. But if you do the full marathon, you get a limited edition Marvel medal for your achievement, but you have to make it all the way through the marathon to get the medal. You also get an exclusive collector's pin and limited edition print, and it's $70, which is actually pretty reasonable, but if you're an AMC Stubbs member, you get $10 back on your card.
So $60 for all those movies.
And if you make it, the medal. My only fear, and truthfully, only fear, is will I enjoy Age of Ultron if I've been sitting in that chair for so long, or will I just want out?
I actually want to see if you can do it.
No, don't encourage him.
This needs to be done. You'll be the only person.
They are doing the double feature in our town, so if I don't want that medal, I want the medal, then I could just do that.
See, I could handle that.
Oh, I don't know. Listeners, tell me what I should do here.
I think almost like you should live tweet like what you feel the beginning of each movie and the end of each movie. And I imagine it's going to be a descent into madness.
And that's kind of why I want to do it.
You are on your own.
Listeners, do you want me to do this kind of jackass MTV level stunt? You let me know. Just come to our forums and tell us. And speaking of movies, there's about 1 week left in the Now Playing Podcast Kickstarter. Over at Now Playing Podcast, a show co-hosted by Marjorie and me, along with Stuart and Jacob, we've reviewed every Marvel film. I'm not just talking about these 11 Marvel Cinematic Universe films. No, no, no. Every Marvel film. Man-Thing. Did you even know there was a movie about Man-Thing? Well, we reviewed it.
I did, but I didn't think it was a Marvel property.
I'm not talking the Ron Jeremy one.
Oh, okay.
Roger Corman's Fantastic Four.
I secretly love that movie.
Elektra.
Not saying that you secretly love that movie.
No, I openly hate that movie.
We have reviewed them all over at Now Playing Podcast. We've been doing that show for 9 years. We started with a review of Spider-Man 3. Well, we are trying to take this show to the next level and do a book of 100 movie reviews of movies we love. There are some superhero movies in there. There are some other types of movies, all genres, all types. The key is you probably won't see any of the Marvel Cinematic Universe in this book because these are underrated movies we recommend. These are the lost gems that you probably haven't seen because they just didn't perform the way they should have or didn't get the reviews they should have.
Corman's Fantastic Four.
Well, admittedly, if we were going to put one in there, I could put Howard the Duck in there. That may be an underrated movie that I love.
Yeah.
But in order to make this happen, to get it printed, printing is very expensive. We have a Kickstarter running. It ends next week. We'd really appreciate your support. If you enjoy Marvelicious Toys, Now Playing, or any of the podcasts we do, if you could just pledge $1, $5 in towards the goal, it would really help a long way. We've hit our base goal. We are writing it as an ebook, but we're trying to get a stretch goal where we're going to do an audiobook, which would be even longer, I believe, than the Avengers movie marathon.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be 300 movie reviews. There are three people reviewing each movie. So for all of us to read 300 movie reviews, I think that'll go over 27 hours. And then to get the book professionally printed, bound in hardcover and trade paperback, it was a lot more expensive than we had ever thought it would be, especially for the printing. So if you could help out, we would really appreciate it. And we'll put a link at MarveliciousToys.com. And it's also in the banner at the top of MarveliciousToys.com.
Yeah, I've been watching that excitedly. It's been a neat process. I know you on the other side have been nervous and frantic and all that, but it's kind of cool to see this going on in live time.
We are so excited to hit the main goal. If you have already pledged, I want to just thank you. I know it's been primarily just now playing people who have donated, but if you have pledged, thank you so much. And if you haven't listened to Now Playing Podcast, check it out at nowplayingpodcast.com. We are coming up on our 500th movie review. There's just a lot of stuff we've done in the archives over there.
Wow.
And we will be doing Avengers Age of Ultron. Our review will be out the Tuesday after the movie, whether or not I do this marathon. But I'm secretly thinking I'm going to be at the marathon.
Oh, boy.
And speaking of Avengers, we have some new toys to talk about in
the Spectacular Store Report.
Before we get to the new toys, Marjorie and I were driving through Ferguson, Missouri the other day, and no, this isn't the setup of a joke.
This is an area where we regularly went. There's a Toys R Us at one end of Ferguson, and then there's a Target at the other end, and
Walmart in between.
And Walmart in between. And the road that we drive on, it's because they're all on the same road, is the road where the riots happened. But a lot of small businesses got burned down, and it was really sad to see just like this four-block stretch of just gutted buildings. So while I was taking him to see this, and it was very surreal because it was snowing, and here's all these burned-out buildings, the Toys R Us is going out of business, which made us really sad.
Yeah, this Toys R Us we've been going to for at least a decade. We go to it every Toy Man Toy Show because it's just down the interstate. We drive right past it every time, and we were just driving through Ferguson, and I noticed somebody doing the little sign dance on the corner. You know how the people do when stores are going out of business?
Oh, yeah, the sign spinners.
And it just said, Toys R Us, whole store, 50% off. I missed the fine print that said up to 50% off. But
right.
I'm like, are they going out of business? It did not say going out of business. It just said store sale. But with the guy on the corner, and then we drove another block, there's another guy in the corner. I'm like, they're going out of business. That's when you call in the sign folk.
Right.
But I was interested in bargain hunting, including possibly an Xbox One. They were sold out of consoles by the time I got there. But we went in, and I was surprised at the amount of toys they had left. A lot of last year's Marvel Legends at 40% off. If I needed another Black Cat or Spider-Woman or tons of Spider-Man. They had a bunch of those Toys R Us exclusive Hulk toys. But where I really loaded up the cart was on the Marvel Infinity stuff. It was 40% off and then another 20% off.
But not 60% off.
No, it comes out to a weird thing that's like 50-some percent off when you do that. Because it's 20% off the reduced 40% price. So you're less than 60, but not much.
Right. Bargain math.
Exactly.
So I bought every figure there that I didn't have. And I haven't really bought the Marvel Infinity stuff. I picked up Venom and I got that starter set. And that was it. And then I got Baymax when I bought Big Hero 6 on Blu-ray at Target just because it was $5 when you bought the Blu-ray at Target. But I loaded up there. I'm now almost got a complete Infinity set. I'm missing like a couple Spider-Man figures. I'm missing Spider-Man and Nova and like one other and I'm done.
Wow.
I need a couple Guardians, I guess. I need Yondu and Drax.
Did you ever get that big old starter set with the base that we talked about a long time ago?
I did, and I've been opening it up and photographing it little by little as time allows.
Nice.
The base is really cool. It lights up. The figures, not too bad for what they are. I kind of like the stylization. I like the Avengers figures far more than the Spider-Man figures because they're going off of the new Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon. And so, like, the Green Goblin looks nothing like any Green Goblin I ever knew.
Right.
But I do like the Venom in that set. I like the Guardians figures. Marjorie had kind of wanted the Rocket anyway.
But I also didn't want to pay full price for it.
But I am proud to say, I bought that giant starter set when it was 25% off at Amazon. And now I bought all of these figures at almost 60% off. I have yet to pay full price for anything Infinity. I am really proud of that.
They ended up being like $7 and some change after all the discounts.
Which is about what they're worth. I feel like the $13, $14 price point is too much for those type of things.
And then I was able to get those discs because there are the power discs and those are blind packaged. And in our local store before Christmas, they had buy one, get one free sales. And I was able to get a few back then, but somebody went in and cleaned the store out. I had to like scrounge like Oliver Twist just to find discs back then. And they've never gotten more in. But this store in Ferguson just had tons of those discs, and they were like $2 a piece after all these discounts, which was better than buy one, get one free. So I just loaded up. I have yet to even open all of them, but I bought like 40.
Jeez, Pete. Have you played the game, or are you just opening them?
I brought it all down for Marjorie and I to play on Sunday, and then we ended up watching a movie instead. So... I'll have a review for the game next time we play, though, because it is sitting next to my PlayStation looking at me pathetically. And I really want to see if this game is any good. If it is or isn't, it's too late now.
You are all in.
I'm kind of glad they didn't make any more. I was afraid that this would be something where, like regular action figures, they would have a steady stream of these figures coming out. But it appears to be they did one major release before Christmas, and that's it. And probably because they'll have to patch the software, and there may be another major release in the future, and then I can find some more closing stores.
You're right. They come out in series. So maybe there'll be a series 2 or 3, whatever this one was.
The fact that all of these were there makes me wonder if this wasn't a huge hit. I honestly don't know what the sales on this have been, but the discs were hard to find, but these figures are everywhere. These did not sell out at Ferguson when the video game section was ransacked, but if you wanted Marvel Infinity or Disney Infinity, they had plenty.
Yeah, those all pretty much all that was left in the game section.
Maybe some of our listeners work at GameStop and can tell us if this game's a hit.
We could ask Hawkeye.
Yeah, that was the one figure. If you saw my video on Facebook, that one figure, an entire wall. I mean, there were several figures we were getting the last ones of. I got like the last Green Goblin and I got the last Captain America. But Hawkeye. Oh my God, the Hawkeye.
Thick in the air.
I couldn't believe how many people. And I don't know why Hawkeye gets the shaft like that.
Maybe people don't need that Hawkeye in Disney Infinities. Not as much as they need the classic Hawkeye in Marvel Legends.
True. That is a gorgeous segue to the next item. Those new wave of Legends are hitting hard everywhere. We found them at Walmart. I bought many of them at Targets, and I hear they're even hitting Toys R Us.
Yeah, surprisingly, the Toys R Us around here had them marked at $19.99, so they haven't done the Toys R Us jack up to $22 around here, which is surprising.
Now, because of the show, I did have to go to eBay for 3 of these figures. I wanted to have them in time to review, and I checked in New York when we were there for Toy Fair because the figures were just hitting before then. We found some at Target right before then, but I could not find Scarlet Witch, Captain Marvel, or Iron Fist.
Yeah, that seems to be about what I'm seeing at stores, too. You know, I'll see Iron Fist more often than the other ones, but Scarlet Witch and Captain Marvel are both pretty hard to find at this point still, which is weird because, you know, I've been to a few stores where there's 6 or 7 Hawkeyes still hanging out, which means people are buying everything but not Hawkeye.
Well, Hawkeye is the only figure 2 per case.
Right, but you would think if you're coming in to get a whole set, there'd be one less Hawkeye. Like, he's backing up even further than being 2 per cases.
Well, to allow listeners to know who may not, the reason you would think Hawkeye is in demand and why Hasbro thinks Hawkeye is in demand is this is the first time getting a classic outfit Hawkeye since what? Was it the Toy Biz days?
It was Toy Biz days. It's been a long time.
And that Toy Biz Hawkeye goes for $40-$50 on eBay. So this is the chance for people who want that classic outfit Hawkeye to get it. And this Hawkeye was supposed to be released last year, was it? Or was it 2 years ago now?
You know, it's been a while. He was supposed to be a switch out with the Marvel Now Hawkeye that we got back then. Yeah, you're right. It's been at least a year and a half since that wave.
Yeah, I guess it was 2013, back when the switch out figures never came for Blade and Hawkeye and Wrecking Crew. And one tangent, at Toy Fair, Dwight Stahl did say that a Blade might be coming, but asked if we'd be disappointed if it wasn't the Blade they showed before, because they want to now use the better bucks with the new articulation.
I'd be okay with that. That was my one problem with that Blade before, was that it was just very obviously a Winter Soldier and a Nick Fury coat. So it did almost look like, you know, just a kit bash, which is fine, but maybe this time around we'll get a little bit more unique looking Blade.
Yeah, so Blade may be yet coming. We know that later this year we're getting the other member of the Wrecking Crew. But in this series, we did get that Hawkeye, and it's a big wave. Last year, they were doing those kind of swap-out figures. So we had the Spider-Man wave and the Captain America wave, where you had all the figures, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, but then you had to find the next shipment with the swapped figures. They've gone back to their old method of just, we're going to ship all the figures in the first case, and the next wave will have totally new figures and a different Build-A-Figure.
Yep. But they're also doing something that they haven't done in quite a while. Well, they've kind of done it before, but this Build-A-Figure almost entices you to build two of them.
Well, let's talk. We'll talk about that when we get there. I'm on the fence on that. Let's go through these figures in order, and we'll end with the All-Father.
Well, these are numbered, at least on the back of the package. I don't see any numbering on the front.
Yes, it makes it very easy for us to review them in order.
I no like it arguments. When things are numbered.
The first figure, number one in the set, is Iron Fist in his white and gold outfit. And I've never seen a Hasbro figure. I don't know if I can think of any figure outside of Hot Toys I've ever seen come with so many swappable hands.
Wow.
No kidding.
I mean, it's very cool. He has no accessories. He's a martial artist, so that he has all these poses. So you can have karate chop hand and, I don't know, kung fu grip hand and fist hand. Then I'm grabbing your throat hand is awesome. But wow, I'm really impressed that Hasbro did that, because this is the figure they could have cheaped out on. You don't need to give him accessories. Heck, one pair of hands like they've done for Spider-Man would be plenty. But he comes with a total of 8 hands if you count the 2 that's on him.
However, the downfall to that is he now has really creepy large hands on the action figure. I think his hands are too big.
Well, you know what that means.
He wears big shoes.
Yeah.
Or gloves, anyway.
Yes.
They're not comically oversized or anything, though.
They have really long wrists, and it's hilarious. I think you'd have to be careful how you pose it to make it not look funny.
Well, I like that it has wrist articulation, and that may be adding to it somewhat.
Yeah, depending how you have his wrist articulation bent, it could make it look elongated. But yeah, what we're looking at here is one of these bucks that is kind of a holdover from when Hasbro first got the line, and they used this buck with the double articulated shoulders. They've used it for Spider-Man figures over the years, and I've seen them here and there. I'll be honest with you, it's not my favorite buck, but I'm something like this, it doesn't bother me as much, because he's wearing a mostly white outfit, so you don't necessarily see it breaking up a pattern like you do on Spider-Man, where the webbing, you know, starts to disappear into his armpit.
You say it's a mostly white outfit, but the blue wash, at least on the one I have, is prevalent up his legs, over his chest, but it's not in like the shoulders. So it really makes it look, honestly, like he washed part of this outfit with some navy socks, but not all of it.
Yeah, I can see that. I guess my eye is more forgiving for something that's meant to be a shadow or a highlight than something that's supposed to be a pattern. So it doesn't necessarily bother me.
It doesn't look bad from a distance. It's only when I'm up close that I go, oh, the blue stops very much right along that line.
Well, does it bother you that he's got a number printed on the back of his thigh?
That always has bugged me a little with okay. The Hasbro figures, yes. It's like they're forcing them to have flair.
Well, speaking of the thigh, I mean, this is always my biggest problem with these older bucks, is that here we are back to ball-hinged hips And I'm not a fan of the ball hinge tip ever since Hasbro has shown us that they can do better with the split cut. You know, this always ends up making a figure feel older to me. But having said that, I like this one better than the previous releases of Iron Fist in the Legends line. He's not wearing his funky 70s outfit where he's showing way too much chest and the popped collar. This is a more modern, clean Iron Fist, and probably my favorite out of the three or four that have been released before.
So I thought we got one back in the large cards, like around the Ghost Rider days.
Somebody over at Marvel or at Hasbro is a big fan of Iron Fist, but he sees a lot of figures over the years.
Yes, but this figure was supposed to be out back with the Hitmonkey wave. He was going to be a swap out for Warriors of the Mind.
That's right. Who else was in that? Because he shared card art with somebody. The white and black suit guy.
Protector.
Right. So you were remembering the card art. You're right. This wave is slowly becoming figures that were supposed to have come out earlier, and we're finally getting them. And we're only on the first figure.
So that's what I was thinking of. But yeah, our friends at Marvel Toy News did post about the eBay auction where the unproduced Iron Fist was sold. And this one is a lot better than what they would have done with the Hitmonkey, at least according to that prototype that still had the number handwritten on his forehead. Because this one has a nice gold paint on the wrists and on the Dread Pirate Roberts scarf.
His do-rag.
Yeah, but the old one had this like mustard yellow do-rag and wrist bits. So I liked the gold a lot better.
Yeah, interesting you should say that though, because there's very little gold paint on here actually, because the only gold paint is the dragon on his chest. The rest of the gold is cast in that color. His boots, his wrists, and his head are all cast in that kind of shimmery gold plastic.
Yeah, I guess it is, but that's weird. Did they paint white then? Yeah, they painted white by the elbow.
Yep.
Very nice. Nice touch.
And it all seems to match pretty well. I mean, you're going to have different shades, I think, a little bit, but it doesn't look too bad.
It fooled me. I didn't realize this, so the white matches perfectly, whereas we often see a huge problem with that. They did a really good job on this.
Yep.
I have no problems with this figure other than I lack the ability to pose him cool in a kung fu way. I'm doing all the Bruce Lee things I can with him, and he just doesn't look right. He looks like a hunchback with broken fingers.
Now, he comes with a leg for the Build-A-Figure Odin, which you're going to need. So if you're looking to build Odin, you're going to own this figure.
And if you're looking to build Odin twice, you're going to own this figure twice. Now, number two and number three are the Avenging Allies. And since they're not doing swap out figures anymore, couldn't they have just given them their name? Do they have to still do the swap out naming? I mean, these are some seriously silly names. Skyline Sirens, Avenging Allies, Madams of the Night.
So they're
no,
hookers?
I'm sorry. No, Madams of Might.
Either way.
I'm really confused.
No, you bring up a really good point. I was confused by that, too. It's like they each come in their own package. They're not swap outs. Why are they doing this?
They have the same back art. And they have the same side art, I guess. But they cannot be saving a whole lot with this. They really can't.
No, there's no savings if you're doing slightly the same art. It's either the same art and they can run it on the same press, or it's slightly changed and they have to redo film and everything. So there's really no excuse for this other than the fact that maybe they realized too late down the line that they weren't going to swap figures, and they just said, screw it, let's just go this way.
Well, our first Avenging Ally is Machine Man. So let me get this straight. You won't make a Gambit, but you're making Machine Man. I got your priorities, okay.
You know, every time we're in panels at cons and we're looking at the Hasbro stuff and they're talking about what's coming out, and then we get a Q&A. Not a year goes by that somebody doesn't get up and say, hey, so when are we going to get a Machine Man? Oh, no, wait, that never happens.
I'm like, wow, did I just not pay attention?
I was kind of thinking that too. I'm like, yeah, no, Justin, I think we've seen a very different panel than you.
This figure does have an interesting history. I had to look up Machine Man a little bit. I knew he was an Avengers character, but He actually was created for the comic adaptation of 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Oh, wow.
So now I want to read the comics for 2001 A Space Odyssey, because I cannot picture where in that movie Machine Man would show up.
He's talking to Hal.
Apparently, he is a robot, the only survivor of a series, raised as the human son of a scientist, and then who further evolved to sentience through the monolith from 2001.
Huh.
I like the space baby.
But this figure, I kind of like him for the design. I love the metallic purple paint they used. The articulation is pretty good, but yet I can't not hate this figure. And I'll tell you why. Because I look at his accessories, because he has these expanding arms, right? So these things snake out and he can have super long fists. And all I can think of is Masters of the Universe. Did you ever collect Masters of the Universe as a kid, Justin, or as an adult?
You know, I wasn't a huge collector. My little brothers played with them for sure, so I'm familiar with a good number of them.
I had the first couple waves back in the 80s. I was the appropriate age for that and looking for something new now that Star Wars wasn't being made anymore. There was a character named Mechaneck.
Oh, yeah.
I remember Mechaneck.
And his neck extended. As a somewhat shorter person of 5'6", I often wish I was Mechaneck when I'm in large crowds and looking for my wife. It is a character who has stuck with me to this day as the most awesome superpower of extendable ostrich neck.
I just wish I was like 6 inches taller.
I wish I was a baller.
Well, I just keep thinking about how Mechaneck, the figure, its head actually extended from the body. It had a neck that went down into the body and you could raise it up, right? And I keep thinking Masters of the Universe would find a much cooler way to give us these extendable arms that would allow for retraction and extension and not just be a swap out hand.
You know, I couldn't stop thinking of whatever that Hanna-Barbera dog was that was a robot that could like, his neck would come out on a thing like this and all of his legs would extend. You know what I'm talking about? I think he even had a cape.
I don't know the dog, but now I'm thinking Inspector Gadget.
Oh, yeah. He's very Inspector Gadget-y, mm-hmm. too.
He is.
So, okay, leaving aside the crappy way that they've done this, because you know what? It has the little holes in it that makes you think that it might have a wire inside of it, so it might be bendy. I don't think it is. I don't know. I guess you can bend it and it stays a little bit.
I wouldn't bend it much. This is a $20 figure.
But outside of that, and outside of him being, you know, a lesser-known character, I'm fine with that. My problems are with how they chose to put this figure together, because it's partially painted and partially cast in purple. And the one I have just feels, it almost feels like it's been sitting in a toy box for 15 years. Like the paint is dulling already and you can kind of see the silver coming through on his chest. It feels used, if that makes sense.
I'm looking at mine really, really closely and I don't see any silver coming through on his chest. And looking at the hole in his back, he appears to be purple. Like that's a purple cast piece is the chest.
Maybe. It's hard to tell.
And then the rest of it, I actually kind of like the metallic purple paint. It works for me. I wish the head matched the metallicness of the body a little more, but he's kind of a plain character. You know, he is purple from head to toe with just some silver accents, red eyes, and a flesh face.
And he looks very much like a sentinel.
Yeah, a lot like a sentinel.
Oh, yeah. Good call.
Like he's costuming as a sentinel.
With pipe cleaner arms.
Yes.
Yeah. If I display this guy, it's going to be without the arm extensions.
Because it's silly.
Yes. Is your figure a little loosey-goosey?
Yes.
It is in the biceps specifically.
See, my arms are tight, but if I hold him by his legs, his body is loose.
Oh, no. I don't have that. I've just got loose arms.
Hmm. So a little bit of quality control issues on this figure.
That said, I've already got a... Credit Hasbro, because they've given us some crappy paint in 2014, and so far, on the figures I've seen, and we're doing these reviews, no paint issues, per se. It seems like they might have fixed that problem, which, at $20-$25 a figure, they need to.
Exactly.
Now, the other Avenging Ally is Sentry. Why do I keep confusing him with Hyperion?
Because he was supposed to be swapped out with Hyperion when we got him back in the Hitmonkey Wave.
Ah, that's why. And his cape, I tried to put it in the wrong hole for quite some time, and the hole was too small, and I just kept forcing and forcing, and finally realized, oops, that's the wrong hole, and moved a little bit to the side, and then got it in. Okay.
Oh, God. Oh, God. It looks like Fabio, doesn't it? Like, they made an action figure for Fabio.
Yeah, he's got, you know, kind of a chiseled jaw and a furled brow and some flowing golden hair. This is my least favorite buck in Hasbro's arsenal. I think I've talked about this before. I just have a problem with the chest. I think we first saw this with Luke Cage in that Comic-Con exclusive pack that we got a few years ago. And it's just, for whatever reason, his chest and arms just don't seem natural to me.
I think it's very barrel-chested, and it seems to be very heavy on the shoulders, like they were trying to do like a WWE figure.
Yeah.
It just looks like exaggerated muscles.
Exaggerated and a little bit warped, too. I think barrel-chested is probably the best way to say it. I think his chest comes out too far the way his neck post is.
I didn't notice it until you pointed it out, and now it's all I see.
Look at him from the side, though.
Yeah.
It's more with not being able to get a natural pose with his arms. Like, try to get his arms at a natural pose at his side, and it's nearly impossible. It's either he's pushing him back and pushing his chest out, or it comes forward too far and he's halfway punching you.
Listen, he's a bodybuilder. His arms never go down at his side, and the chest is always pumped out. Haven't you seen Hans and Franz?
Oh, let's not do this.
I mean, I can get his arms to be kind of down in a curled, semi-neutral position. The thing is, he is, as Marjorie said, barrel-chested. That chest is always out.
Yeah. I guess what I'm getting at is that, like, it makes it so the only pose I'm happy with this buck in usually is with his fists resting on his hip in, like, a superheroic Superman pose.
Which works. I mean, he does have the cape, and he is strong and all of that. So, that is a good pose for Sentry to be in.
Yep.
But I'm kind of glad, I mean, in a way, that he is this buck, because this is the figure they were supposed to ship before. They didn't update it. It is the figure. That one that sold for way too much money on eBay, that prototype. Here it is, just on a different package.
Yeah.
If you're an opener, this is the just the same for you. And I like his giant belt on him. I mean, we had him in the 3¾-inch wave quite a while ago. I remember reviewing him then with the belt, and they've done a better job here with it.
The belt doesn't lend any credence to that he's in the wrong line and he should have been in WWE figures.
Yeah, it is kind of a championship belt.
It is very much a championship belt.
But no, you're right. There is some effort put into it. It's a sculpted belt. The S is actually carved into the buckle there. So that's a nice touch. And it fastens on the back. That's kind of neat. Usually stuff like this is just kind of either slipped on and put together before they snap the whole body together. But yeah, you could actually take that off if you wanted to. I wouldn't advise it, because it's always hard to get those little pegs back in. But if you had to, you could without destroying it.
I guess my biggest problem is the cape does keep falling off. That's why I kept having to try to put it back in.
Really? I have it in the second hole, and it's a nice tight fit. I can hold him by the cape, and he stays in.
I have it in the second hole now, too, but it's not that tight.
It's because you ruined your peg when you tried to shove it into the little hole above.
I'm happy with this figure for what it is. If you're going to give us this big muscular buck like this, I don't need all the articulation. And unlike Iron Fist, though, this is one where his only accessory is the cape. There's nothing else to Sentry.
And he has the Allfather's arms.
Yes, each of the allies come with an arm.
An arm each, or do they each come with a set of arms?
They each come with two arms, but I believe that they each, like, one comes with two left arms and one comes with two right arms, isn't it?
No, they each come with a set of arms.
Okay.
But the right arm is the same on both sets. The left arm, as we'll talk later when we're reviewing, is the different arm.
It sounds really weird when you keep calling it the Allfather, because it makes me think we're putting together some, like, big Jesus or cult figure.
Well, we have to call it the Allfather because it's two different characters that we can build here.
I understand, but you get where I'm coming from. It sounds like we've joined a cult.
Allfather, who art in Odenheim.
Please meet in the commons area to drink your Kool-Aid.
Now, figure four, this is the one you've been waiting for specifically, Justin.
Oh, yes. And I'm not disappointed. I think they did a really nice job of delivering a classic Hawkeye figure that's been sorely needed for such a long time. And guess what? They've even reused the accessories from the last few times they've released Hawkeye.
Yeah, I noticed the bow and quiver were the same.
Yep, which is fine. You know, I mean, it works in the Avengers movie line than when they put it out before. And this time they've cast it in purple plastic, so it works out well. And I don't have any Captain Americas laying around here to know for sure, but it looks like they might even give him his own new pirate boots.
They do look different than Cap's boots, though, because Cap's boots had a thicker ankle and looked more like he was wearing boots with big cuffs, whereas these are just kind of like skinny boots that cuff over. If that makes any sense to anybody. Justin, you know what I'm talking about, though.
I do. I definitely do, because that's something that I always check out when we get a Cap figure. But yeah, I mean, this is the great classic version of Hawkeye. And I think going back to the Toy Biz one, that one shipped with, what, his rocket cycle?
Yeah, it was back with that Rider series.
Yeah. So minus needing that, which I don't feel like I do, I feel like this is a superior figure to even the Toy Biz one. It just feels and looks more solid, yet a little bit more up to date, if that makes sense, even though we're talking about the classic version of the character.
Yeah, I don't know that he, in none of the comics I've read in the past 10 years, has he been riding that cycle. If you want that, you can always go back for the older Toy Biz version. But here, I'm happy with just getting the bow, the arrow, and the classic purple outfit with the giant H on the forehead.
Part of me wants to see if this arm, his left arm that, you know, he has sleeved and armored up a little bit, is from another figure. Because it almost looks like it could be from a Winter Soldier type of figure or something. But without having one right in front of me, I can't say for sure where it is or not. But at any rate, it works.
It is Winter Soldier's arm.
It very well could be with the little lines and rivets.
It's definitely a robot arm.
I was thinking it looked robotic earlier. Yeah, I do think that is Winter Soldier's as well.
But yeah, his shoulder pads, I guess. I don't even know what you would call that. It's like a reverse dickie.
He's supposed to wear it under his unitard, and he's wore it on the outside. It's very awkward.
You know, the more I look at this, this is a really weird piece of clothing. It's, you know, it's shoulders with suspenders that go into like a tunic. But it's done very well. There's scales that are sculpted right into that, and the little raised rectangles on up. It's well done, and mine is a nice solid one. I've heard some people are getting loosey-goosey ones, and the one I have is nice and tight, and you can pose them any which way you want.
Yeah, mine's tight as well. I know there were a couple of figures that somebody on our Facebook page had said they got some bad hips, but no, mine's all been good so far.
Yeah.
You know, to me, I think this is a pretty decent figure. It looks good. It poses pretty well. As I've not been collecting Legends as long as some others. I started when Hasbro started back up with those Toys R Us 2-packs. It's not a holy grail for me, and I actually did pick up the older Hawkeye just when I won an eBay auction real cheap of the entire wave with all the Riders.
Nice.
Every so often you find the misspellings.
Yeah, it's just one of those that, you know, I'm not a super huge Hawkeye fan or anything like that. It's just one of those things. It was hard to come by when I started the collecting. And, you know, they teased him a couple years back. And to finally have him in my hand for retail price just kind of feels like a small little victory.
Now, he comes with the largest Build-A-Figure piece. It almost looked like a second figure in the bubble. He comes with the body. And even though there's no legs in there, it's not like the Jubilee Build-A-Figure where it was basically everything but the head in the one part. But because of the skirt, it kind of looks that way.
It looks like a mannequin, like a dress mannequin that you used to sew clothes.
Yeah, I mean, you get the full torso and, like you said, the skirt, and it takes up just as much space, if not more, in the bubble as Hawkeye.
So if you do want to build two Allfathers, which, again, we're just teasing this out, but if you want to, you're going to need two Hawkeyes. I see a lot of loose figures hitting eBay.
There's going to be a lot of loose Hawkeyes. You are very correct.
Well, then we get to figure 5, Thor, which is like the figure of the wave, given that this is the Allfather Build-A-Figure. So to get Thor in here, and he is a huge figure and veiny, the veins in the arms. Oof.
He looks mean. And you know what? His arms, I don't like what they did with the color of the flesh because it looks like Silly Putty. They're like a weird shiny, aren't they?
Yeah, you're right. Silly Putty's a good comparative. Yeah.
Ever since Hasbro started up with Legends again, they actually started with this Thor figure. Remember the hammer at Comic-Con? That was the return of Marvel Legends.
Right, right.
So since that one, we've gotten quite a few Thors, even if you don't count the movie Avengers ones, that have kind of used this body over the years. So this body is not new, but I think they've done a good job of making it feel like a new figure because it's a new head, minus the, like you said, it's the skin arms now rather than his armored arms. But you know what? Out of all those Thors we've gotten, I think this one might be my favorite as far as overall look because he's got the nice, classic, big helmet on. Some of the ones we got before were kind of doofy looking. If you look back, that one that relaunched the line, that helmet was a little bit small and goofy looking. This one looks like a battle helmet.
Yeah, I like the way it sits on his head there. I don't know that it looks like a battle helmet with the giant wings, but you know, I kind of like it when Thor wears the full face mask, like a knight's helmet, if you're going to go for the battle look. But I do like the paint used and the way it sits on his head and how it covers also his hair. He doesn't have the Goldilocks coming out the back. He's got like a...
He's got a scarf on to cover his hair.
Oh, yeah. That is cloth rather than hair coming out the back there.
And I think this is the first time I've seen that on a Thor figure.
Yeah.
Usually he just has the long flowing Rapunzel locks. And while it may be the same body, these legs are amazing with the sculpting on them and the fact that the inside is painted this high gloss black and the outside this metallic silver.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? They've done that before, too. These are the same legs from that figure that we've seen a couple times. The paint job might be slightly different. The silver on the outside is definitely a cool feature here.
And just, he's in an all-black outfit. It feels very different from the blue and red Thors of past.
Mm-hmm. I could see standing these all next to each other on a shelf and not feeling like, oh, look, repaints. They're all unique enough that I think they stand well as unique figures.
And he comes with two accessories, and I had to double check because I was curious if these were both for Thor or if one was for the Build-A-Figure. He, of course, comes with Mjolnir, and it's a really well-done hammer. It's got a lot of weathering to it and indentations that make it look like it's seen some battle.
Well, that hammer is nice because it actually fits the size of the figure. Sometimes I think they get the scale wrong on the hammer and it looks puny. This one looks like it's something he would carry.
But he also comes with this giant sword. Again, thinking of He-Man. I mean, this is like the He-Man sword. You could see Thor, I have the power!
Yeah, it is very He-Man-y. But guess what? I was, you know, at first I was like you. I was like, why does Thor need a sword, you know? And I'm definitely not going to display him with a sword and a hammer. It feels like overkill. So guess who's getting a new sword and desperately needs one? My Strife figure, who came with that toothpick of a sword.
It is a pretty awesome sword, just not for Thor.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of the Sword of Omens from Thundercats with the big crystal in the middle.
Thunder, thunder!
Thunder God, ho!
Now, Marjorie, you said that you weren't a big fan of this cape. Well, that's funny because this cape shows up three times in this wave. This is the same cape that the Allfather has in two different colors.
Well, you know, I guess the store just only has one thing.
Yeah, the Asgardian cape store really is not that big on selection.
Hey, I have a question. Do I have a broken Thor?
Well, I don't know. Maybe you should ask your doctor.
Does his belt, like, have a looseness and, like, it looks almost like a lowercase letter N is his belt buckle and then there's a piece of silver off to the side?
Yes, his belt buckle looks like a lowercase N and then there's an extra strap that comes around from the back. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know if that strap was supposed to be the bottom of the belt buckle or something.
No, yeah, and it's pegged in there, and mine's kind of loose in there, too. You can, like, move it up and down.
Yeah. What is this?
I don't know. It's just an extra strap.
Of all the details for Hasbro to include. Oh, is it like a holster where he could put something?
Maybe he could put a sword in there, but it feels like it would be...
I think that's what it is. Mjolnir will sit there.
Well, all right.
He just now can't bend over or sit in a chair, but hey, you know.
I didn't need another Thor, but I understand why they keep putting them out. You know, Avengers, the movie coming out, Thor looks pretty badass in it. So keep them on the shelves. And if you're going to do that, I much prefer these repaints that feel like new Thors.
Yeah, very well said. That's kind of where I'm at with it, too. You know, I wouldn't be rushing out just to get a Thor figure, but since it's part of this wave and need to get him, I'm not upset that I paid for him.
And he comes with another All-Father leg.
So you might end up with two Thors.
Well, last week was taking an action figure to work day, and this Thor is badass enough to sit on my desk. And then finally, we get to the Maidens of Might, not the Maidens of the Night, as I had said earlier. Very different things.
And the first maiden is Captain Marvel, who is now a woman.
Yes, and she is Carol Danvers, formerly known as Ms. Marvel. And when we reviewed that Target 3-pack, I went on about how I was so glad they made a Ms. Marvel figure. As I mean, Ms. Marvel is classic Marvel to me. She'd been a character for decades, an Avenger, had a history with the X-Men, just such an ingrained character, hung out with Spider-Man a lot. To change her so drastically, and her character seemed to change completely. It doesn't even feel like the same person. I read a few of the Captain Marvel comics. So I was really glad we got Ms. Marvel. So now that I see Captain Marvel as a figure, though, I kind of like it.
What the hell happened to her hair? She looks like an anime character with that hair. It's all spiky, like...
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Yeah, because it's got some crazy wisps to it, you know, and it's kind of spiky going to the back. But it's awesomely sculpted, I'll say that.
It is awesomely sculpted. And did you notice now, she also has the new flesh they're doing, like Thor's arms had. This is a shiny, shiny face. And it looks like Silly Putty again. It's like they've got a new flesh plastic.
Yeah, it's really high gloss.
Yeah, maybe she needs some Neutrogena.
It's all about the base.
Oh, dear God.
Her hair sculpt is very impressive. There's some detail in there.
Yeah, but it does, as Marjorie said, remind me of Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
What I'm impressed about, though, are the colors used in her outfit. And again, this is a figure that could be ruined by a 2014 Hasbro paint job. The lines on mine, because I was scared to death. I ordered her on eBay. I had to hunt so hard just in the 3-pack for a Ms. Marvel that didn't look like crap. I was so worried when I opened this up that this figure would look all janky and the person would have sent me the one with the worst paint job. But the lines are crisp. The colors are bright. I think this outfit, on the page, it never struck me. But looking at it like this, this is a badass looking superheroine.
It's really nice colors on her outfit. It really stand out. And she might have the best coloring of all of these and perhaps the best outfit of this whole wave.
She's the most lively. They've been using muted colors, even on Sentry and Hawkeye, who they could have gone bright with. They went really muted and darker, whereas her, this red, it's almost an orangey red, and it is really bright and feels comic booky in a good way.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I'm not a huge fan of the color combination, but what they've done here really works. You know, and like you said, the lines are sharp as I've ever seen on a Hasbro figure. But I will say mine, the yellow seems to be bleeding a little bit. Like I can see a little bit of red coming through in parts and a little bit of blue coming through in other parts.
Yeah, yellow and blue make green on a couple of lines on her arm and chest.
But not enough for me to complain about it. I mean, she's got little tiny dots down her wrists and boots that are impressive because that could get away from you real quick. You could end up with a bunch of different sizes.
And I like the extra head she comes with, the masked head with the mohawk hair. And again, good paint on that. That's one where the flesh could have bled over, or those eyes. They did the black eyeliner around the white eyeball.
Which is a nice touch. It makes the eyes really pop.
It's a really cool mask. I will give you that.
Now, they reused a Jubilee part because Jubilee had, remember, the Fistball of...
The Fistball?
The pink spooge.
Yeah, I was trying to not say spooge, but yeah. It kind of looks like ectoplasm or a giant booger.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, when you say reused, I think literally they went to the bin marked Jubilee pink stuff and just grabbed it. It's the same color. It's got the same little flakes of glitter in there that we saw before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times when they reuse an accessory like this, they change colors or whatever. But this seems to be the exact same accessory.
Now, she comes with one All-Father head and the other one comes with Scarlet Witch. And of course, a character who's going to be in high demand starting in a couple of months when the movie finally hits and people realize what an awesome character she is. And another figure I was really worried about the paint job on, and I got a really nice paint job here. They did the flesh tone, but it is the Silly Putty again for the face and the unclothed top, and then the pink tights for the thigh area.
Like if she had tights on.
Yeah, that's what I think she's wearing, like a bodysuit.
Yeah, with boots. Thigh-high boots.
These superheroes really, especially the women, they go all out with their costume choices.
Definitely. Now, this is the first figure in this wave that we actually got to put our hands on. Remember when we got to hold the prototype at Comic-Con last year before she was painted?
That's right.
Yeah. So here we are, finally, with the finished version in our hands. And I'm going to say I dig it, but I'm not as happy as I could be with this figure.
Okay. I'm curious what issues you have.
Well, first of all, I have a really hard time getting mine to stand up.
Really? I had no trouble. I just tested that and first try, even with heels. Now, she does have pig holes, so you could get a figure stand too.
Yeah, and that's what I think I'm going to need to do because, you know, trying to just get her to stand, I feel like I have to lean her forward because her cape is so heavy, it's pulling her back. But that's my first issue, and that's not a big deal because I'm going to expect that with high-heeled shoes, you know. I feel like it cheaped out just a little bit by not giving us sculpted boots. You know, they went as far as sculpting her bustier or bra piece or whatever up top, but they didn't do it on the boots. That's just painted on. And that's kind of a little cheap out, because they even gave us sculpted boots on the Marvel Universe version of this figure.
Now that you point that out, yeah, the boots do look not so cool since they're just painted.
Yeah.
And we've been giving them props for having clean paint on all of these, and the one I have, the hardest figure to find, has a nice smudge right on her right upper thigh where her boot ends and goes into the pink. I've got a nice little red spot there.
Now that I'm looking at it super close for this review, I have a little flesh color on one of the breasts.
Ooh.
Just a couple of dots, but yeah. No, I had no trouble making her stand. I don't mind the painted boots personally. Would they be better sculpted? Yes. But that they went through and painted the two different colors, I'll go with that. I'm surprised they sculpted the top so that bustier is sculpted away from the flesh and not just painted on a bodysuit like they've done so many times. And I really like the wash of the paint in the hair. My only complaint, and maybe it's not a complaint and you can tell me the fix, is I have no idea what to do with her hex power things. I think they look really cool, but I mean, I can just kind of hang them off her hand.
They're like giant hula hoops of weird spinny spiral things that just don't go anywhere.
Ah, but they do. If you look at them on the inside, there's little half or circles that don't quite close. And those you can slip over her wrist. And so the power is emanating from the center of her arm.
Ah, okay. So you can kind of hang them that way. All right.
Yeah.
I just wasn't sure what to do with them.
Yeah, it works better with the smaller ones in there than the bigger one. But the bigger one is there because I think I saw this accessory being reused in some of our photos from Toy Fair. I think it was maybe Doctor Strange is reusing this accessory in a different color.
Ah, and it works for them both because of the symbols and everything. It's definitely better than just grabbing some more spoogey things.
It's the new spooge for the 2015s.
No, she looks pretty cool now with that.
Yeah, I put them on her fingers with the big holes, and it actually works pretty well there too.
Nice.
But then you get so many Build-A-Figure pieces. I have no idea what to do anymore. I've never had the plethora of Build-A-Figure pieces that I've had. I mean, we get a giant spear, we get two heads, we get four arms, two capes. The only thing I was happy about is, okay, I know where the legs go.
Yeah, that's one of the only choices you don't have. You have one body and legs, and everything else is interchangeable. So let's start with the heads, because those are the most uniquely different pieces here. One is a really cool helmeted bearded warrior with a nice brassy copper looking helmet and ram horns coming out of the side. And the other one looks like somebody poked Gandalf in the eye. Yeah, this looks like Heston's Moses character almost.
Yeah, so it's Odin with the helmet, which has the big ram horns and everything. And it's King Thor, who you said looks like Gandalf.
Yeah.
And I can't disagree. It is a little Gandalf-y.
Gandalfini? Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you straight up and down. Like, I don't think I am going to complete two Build-A-Figures, because once you put the one with the helmet on and give him that cool armored arm, pick whatever color cape you want to put on him. I think the armored arm and the helmet wins hands down.
But that's not how they go together, Justin.
I know, but it's the way I'm going to display
it. You're creating a new figure. King Thor lost his arm, not Odin.
But that's how I justify having to buy two different sets of arms.
I cannot abide.
Are you going to be a purist on this?
I think I am. I think I am.
So it's not a masher for you.
He's not a masher. That is exactly right.
But they are getting dangerously close. That's a very good point, Marjorie. Build-A-Figure mashers.
If you're going to have King Odin, you give him both arms and the giant spear. If you're going to have King Thor, you give him the metallic arm and then the axe.
And some people are giving him that sword that came with Thor. Is that proper?
I think that would work a lot better to give King Thor the sword, because I associate a sword more with King Thor than brash young Thor.
Yeah.
Now, this figure, as a Build-A-Figure, is decent in articulation. I feel he's lacking, like, there's no real neck articulation like most of the other Legends have had. It's got the ball joint where you pop the head on, and that's the limit of the articulation up there.
You can still get some movement out of it, especially for a figure with a beard and long hair. I mean, it's got more movement than the Scarlet Witch.
Very true.
Where I did find the articulation a little limited was his biceps are so huge that he can barely even bring his arm up to a, I don't even want to say that's even close to a 120 degree angle. That's, he's got very limited movement there in his elbows, especially on the armored arm.
And the little pieces of shoulder armor are just kind of pegged in there. And when I was trying to build him, I noticed that fell off quite a bit or got out of place quite a bit.
Yeah, they want to pop off. They are pretty deep pegs, so it's not like they're just kind of snap on like some of the previous Iron Man shoulder pads have been, where it's like, you look at it wrong, and it pops off. This is, you know, it's got a long enough peg that I think it's going to stay in there pretty good. But you're right, it's kind of in the way, especially in the process of putting the arms on.
He does come apart quite easily, which is one of my big concerns, because I don't want to have to only choose one. And like the group Build-A-Figure last year, I built him, and then I found myself going out buying some more group parts because I couldn't take them apart again for a photo shoot.
Life is rough.
And him, I was afraid once I built him, I would have just made my choice and that's the end of it. But the arms and the heads pop on and off easily enough that I was able to swap him and make him King Thor without too much work. You're right. These elbows don't move worth a damn. You might as well not even have that articulation.
It's just like a tease.
It's there, but barely. Overall, I think it's a really cool looking figure. I mean, I think, you know, it's unique. A lot of these parts I don't think have been used before. Maybe part of the arms or the hands, but outside of that cape, which is Thor's cape, like we talked about earlier, this seems to be an all new figure. And that's what I expect from a Build-A-Figure, especially when figures nowadays are $20 a piece.
And these are supposed to be 25. And with as much of a Build-A-Figure as we got, as big as this Build-A-Figure is, and with as big as some of these figures are, Thor and Sentry are nice and big, and the detail that's in the smaller figures, that even at the new price point, I'm okay with 25 for these. I actually feel we're getting 25 in value, though I'm more than happy to have paid 20 for each, except for the other ones, which I actually got cost plus shipping, so I wasn't too bad with.
Yeah, all in all, I don't feel the need to own two full versions of this Build-A-Figure. I think I'll be content to pop off the head and give them different accessories as my whims may lead me to want to do.
And for anyone who does want to, what you're ending up buying again is another Iron Fist, another Thor, and another Hawkeye. And that's all you really need to buy two of.
Yes.
Because you get two sets of arms already. The heads are separate. The capes are separate. So if you buy those three again, I honestly think I'm going to let the stores be my guide. If I find these figures in stores, I might pick them up just to get a second Build-A-Figure.
Depends on if you found other things.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're itching to buy, you're going to buy it. If you have other things in your cart, you're gonna be like, all right, well, I'm already buying stuff. I might as well get it. So either way, you win.
And the way Hawkeye is backing up at stores, getting an extra body 6-7 months down the line from now, you might be able to find one on clearance. Who knows?
But I could probably save a little bit of money. These figures are 20 a piece in stores, right?
Yeah.
At our sponsor, Dorkside Toys, you can just buy the All-Father Build-A-Figure, the Odin one, for $59.99.
Oh, nice.
That's all your Build-A-Figure parts, and it ships in 24 hours.
So if you just want him, you could do that.
Yeah. Hmm. And you don't have to buy extra figures. And it's, for me, a wash. For just the extra parts, it would cost $60. So that's a thought. And the reason I even had to hunt for these figures in stores is because I procrastinated. I should have ordered them at Dorkside Toys. I've already got my Spider-Man figures in from Dorkside Toys that we'll be discussing next week, the Spider-Man Legends. But they sold out of these Legends at Dorkside Toys, so I wasn't able to get them. Now, they do have some of them up for order again. They are a pre-order for March arrival. So if you want to guarantee them, you can order the set of eight or order your figures at $21.99 coming in March. And they also have the Spider-Man Legends and just put up the next wave of Avengers Legends, which I've also ordered that have Spider-Woman and it's the Thanos Build-A-Figure wave. You get Avengers Age of Ultron, Hulk, Iron Man, and Cap. Comic Wave, Batroc, Hellcat, and Spider-Woman, and build that Thanos.
Yeah, Legends are going to be coming fast and furious now. We finally got the first wave of 2015, and the next one's right behind it with Spider-Man. And like you said, those other ones are up for pre-order and coming not too far behind that. So it's going to be a Legend-heavy year.
But if it's anything based on this first wave, these are some of the best quality Legends figures I think Hasbro has given during the 5-year run of Marvelicious Toys.
Oh, yeah. Overall, this feels like a solid wave. Like we spoke up top, it's a make good on some figures that didn't quite make it out when they were previously shown. You know, they checked 3 figures off that list. That's a win right there. And the other figures that are in this wave that are new and hadn't been shown before are all solid. We might have nitpicked here and there, but there's not a horrible figure in this wave.
And speaking of Dorkside Toys and online retailers,
sales to astonish.
There is another Baby Groot.
There's always going to be another Baby Groot.
But this Baby Groot, like the real Groot, if there were a real Groot, runs on sunlight. It is a solar-powered dancing Baby Groot bobblehead. And it is clearly named Baby Groot, despite us being told that Uncle Milton was told by Marvel it is not Baby Groot. But this NECA piece is a Baby Groot solar-powered dancing bobblehead.
It feels like it's everything and nothing all at the same time, you know? It's like, well, there's already a couple bobbleheads, and there's already a dancing one, and there's already potted ones. We're all of those, but also solar-powered.
I don't think I need this.
It's cute, but doesn't it feel like it's a little late to the party?
My feeling on this is it's all about the dance. I need to see it dance. If it does more than the weird phallic gyration of the one we reviewed, then it's a buy. If it just continues the phallic, then no. What I really want is like one of those dancing sunflowers like we've talked about, only in a Groot, that I can put on my dashboard.
Yeah, this one is a little bit cuter than the previous dancing Groot, the one that you're talking about. I think the face is a little bit more Funko-ish looking.
But he's every bit as veiny.
Yep. He looks like he got silly strained.
Well, speaking of Guardians of the Galaxy collectibles, I gave up my patience around Christmas, and I ordered that Guardians of the Galaxy Record Store Day cassette. There's just something wrong about saying Record Store Day cassette, by the way. the prop replica of the Awesome Mix Volume 1. I found one for 30-some shipped on eBay and decided that was the best I was going to do. Sure enough, it is now up at DisneyMusicEmporium.com.
Because that's a thing.
Really long domain name, .net. And it's $14.98. So the cooler strikes again, folks. And a secret about the cooler. When he overpays for something, sometimes he wants to buy it at retail, so his average per unit price is lower. So I like keep clicking add to cart, but I don't check out, so I can have two cassettes, and then I've only paid an average of 20-something a piece.
It's like splitting threes and then doubling down on both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, $15 is about right for a cassette tape replica.
I've seen people who are like, they don't get it. And they're like, what are you hipsters doing buying cassettes and not understanding? It's a prop replica, kind of. It does have songs that are specifically not on the Awesome Mix Volume 1. They would only be on the Awesome Mix Volume 2.
Oh, interesting.
Because the Jackson 5 was Awesome Mix Volume 2, if you remember.
Really?
Yeah. When he opens that cassette at the end, every song that plays after that is on Volume 2.
Hmm.
And in fact, that hit me when James Gunn mentioned on Twitter that he let his whole cast hear the Awesome Mix, and there were some songs on his Awesome Mix that they didn't get in the movie, they couldn't get rights for or something, but he listed a few more songs that were on Awesome Mix Volume 1, but he wouldn't let them hear the Jackson 5 song or any of that, because none of them would know that until like the very last frames of the movie. So he was really into that.
Apparently.
Now, Hot Toys has released two big Mama Jammas.
They hit you hard this week.
They did. They were one last week, one this week. Last week came the new Hulk Sith scale figure for Avengers Age of Ultron. Now, Justin, I cannot remember. Did you buy the other Hulk with the stretch arms, strong arms?
I did not.
Okay, I remember you were really on the fence about that.
I was, and I think I end up going with Ironmonger at that time.
Ah.
Because they came out about the exact same time.
This Hulk is in two different versions. You can get the deluxe or the plain version. And if you get the plain one, it's actually less expensive than the first Avengers Hulk. The regular Hulk 6-scale figure is only $274.99.
All right.
Or you can get the deluxe set for $374.99, and the difference is just weird. Both of them come with this Hulk, and this Hulk has a really hairy Ruffalo chest. Like, I don't want to see that guy with his shirt off, because it would probably look like Andy in 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Oh.
And he has these, like, Nike sport pant shorts going on.
I called it control top Hulk.
It's more control bottom though.
Yeah, but the control top pantyhose, they control your tummy.
Oh.
And I don't know if this will really be the case, but the prototype photos show a little bit of a bulge.
That's kind of creepy. I don't want to think of Hulk penis.
But you see Ever. It, right?
Yeah, it's not in your imagination. That's not. That might be a little bit of light enhancement, but there's definitely a bulge there. I think Marjorie's right. I don't want to think too much about Hulk's junk.
This is why he still wears pants.
And we're all thankful.
And the basic figure has the screaming head with the rolling eyeballs.
Oh.
So it has eyeball articulation there.
Where I don't need it is in the eyes. That's one of my creepiest things.
But if you get the deluxe set, then you get something new.
Such a weird thing. It's almost like you're getting a mini bust here, if you really stop and think about it, right?
Well, first you get a second head. You get the roaring head, and then you get the teeth-gnashing, scowling head.
Yep, and that head, if you're not using it, can sit atop a pre-posed torso and arms with Hulk flexing and lifting his arms up. I guess it's the Hulk smash, right? Yeah. He's getting ready to smash.
Yeah.
So it looks like there's no articulation in that. It's just a pre-posed body so you can have Hulk with his arms above his head.
Yes. And not have to worry about the joints and maybe the Posable arms don't do that. Now, they have gone away from that flex flesh thing. This looks like it is just articulated. It looks like the pieces fit together pretty tightly, but it is not going to be wearing basically the sleeves that the last Hulk had.
Right. Yeah, I mean, this seems to be a completely new Hulk from the last time that they did an Avengers Hulk.
Mm-hmm. And I went ahead and ordered the deluxe set because I wanted both heads for sure. I don't know that I actually would have paid the extra money just for the pre-posed Hulk smash bit. And yet, that may be actually the one I display.
Right. I mean, it looks cool.
Yeah. If that's the pose you want, you can always keep the other torso around when you change your mind. But if you're going to get a Hulk, you need something for him to fight, right?
No, Hulk wants to be peaceful.
Well, when Hulk gets a little out of control, who are you going to call?
Hulkbusters! Holy cow.
I am just going to start with the good news. It's less expensive than my worst fear by $25.01.
Are you on the Price is Right?
I was petrified at the thought of $850.
I think they were too, because like the price that it is like them saying, oh, I wish we could do $850, but this is as high as we can go and not seem ridiculous.
So it's $824.99, which is still a kick in the gut. In my wildest good dreams, I was thinking $650.
That's kind of cute.
You know, that's a mortgage payment for some people right there.
Is this the biggest Hot Toys Marvel figure they've done, though? 21 inches tall?
It's gotta be. I mean, Ironmonger was huge, but he didn't feel 21 inches huge. Like, he's probably like 16, 17 inches topping out.
Ironmonger is only 17 and a half inches.
All right, so this is a good 3.5 inches taller than that, and that guy is a big, bulky, tall figure.
Yeah, he's massive. And so this is going to be like a full action figure taller. I mean, I wondered if they might cheap out, though. The reason I thought they might go cheap, Igor wasn't all that expensive, all told, because they went Power Pose series. And I wondered, would they Power Pose the Hulkbuster? I'm not convinced they might not down the line for a cheaper Hulkbuster to get more money, too.
Right.
But this one has 30 points of it says over 30 points of articulation.
So 31.
And over 16 LED light-up areas, including the eyes, arc reactor on chest, repulsor palms, back, and legs.
You know, to be fair, I'd say about 10 of those points of articulation are just in the fingers.
The shoulder armors can be opened. There's an interchangeable neck armor because you can then display a Mark 43 bust there instead. So it looks like the smaller head is in there. And then, yes, it does have the movable fingers and light up repulsors in the hands. But this thing, there's two things that happen. First, it's gorgeous. The paint on it is astounding. The weathering, the scraping. It's not as high gloss as Kodo's. So, I mean, if I could only pick one, both for cost reasons and looks reasons, I'd probably pick Kodo's. But for the articulation and the size, I mean, this is so much bigger, and the light up features. And the fact that this toy was put up for pre-order approximately 2 hours after that new Avengers trailer.
Hook, line, and sinker.
I was thinking, why not get two?
Why?
I don't know. I just wanted that badly. Like, I wanted to order two, like, that would make it here in half the time.
Nope.
Does not work like that.
Matter of fact, that's what kind of has me sitting on the fence again, because sure, I'm super excited about it now, and even a year from now, I'm going to be excited about it, but still, it's going to be well over a year before this comes out, if we're lucky.
Yeah, it'll probably be September of next year is my guess, and that's an optimistic guess. Ironmonger, they took 6 to 8 months longer.
That's right. That's why he came out about the same time Hulk did.
Yeah. I'm really happy, though, because the payment plan's only $90 a month.
That's a 30-year fixed.
I mean, I know you said it's a mortgage payment, and it is, but when you take it down to just $90 a month,
for the price of 4.5 Legends figures every month, you can save a Hulkbuster.
And I just might, but that would mean I'd have to stop saving Legends figures. This is such a tempting piece. This is the most tempting piece they have ever done over at Hot Toys.
It's so nice.
It is very pretty.
It's so pretty.
It's hard to sit here and look at this and not click pre-order. It really is. Oh, and it's a limit of two. So if you are going to do two, go ahead and do that now.
No, Justin, shut it. Come on.
But, I mean, look at what you're paying for with that 3 inches. Because Ironmonger was only $480.
Yeah.
But he's also going to be broader, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I mean, just in terms of overall plastic used, you're looking at probably four other Ironmans here. You know, an overall amount of tooling and plastic made into a toy. This is equal to at least three or four previous Ironmen.
Well, I have him ordered, and so for next year's Thanksgiving show, I should have him in hand for a review.
It'll be long after that.
And you know what, though? Honestly, I know I'm the patient one of this group. I'd rather have them take their time and get it right, like they did with Ironmonger, than ship it fast and get us junk.
Right.
Now, to go from the really, really expensive to the really, really cheap, Entertainment Earth put up for pre-order a couple of things that piqued my interest. If they were at Toy Fair, we missed them. But USAopoly, that company that makes every Monopoly game variant in the world,
yeah,
is coming out with two Marvel games. There's Marvel Universe Risk. It's Marvel Cinematic Universe Risk. So you get your movie characters fighting for land, I guess. I'm not quite sure how that would work. But of far more interest, and perhaps it could be an entire episode of Marvelicious Toys, is us playing Marvel Cinematic Universe Trivial Pursuit.
Yeah, that could be fun.
That probably would be a lot of fun.
I think that would be a blast. And for $19.99, that's a great price for that. The Risk was $50. That's a little much for a board game. But $20 is like the perfect price for Marvel Cinematic Universe Trivial Pursuit. As long as they don't bring in some Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. minutia, I'm gold. Especially after sitting through the 28-hour marathon.
Oh boy, here we go again, the marathon.
Now I just picture you like Clockwork Orange in there, like with your eyes pried open, stuck to the chair, just soaking in all the information you possibly can. Marja, your job's going to be to drop eye drops into his eyes every couple minutes.
No, I can't do that. Sorry, he doesn't do eye drops.
Speaking of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the official Marvel shop has started a path of insanity. They are doing 12 exclusive Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. prints at $50 a piece.
Whoa.
One a week from now through May 15th.
Please tell me you're not buying these.
The first one is called Aftershocks, and it really focuses on the Inhumans bit. You got Coulson and Sky, and it's nice, but it's not $50 nice, and it's definitely not $600 for 12 of these nice.
Yeah, and considering that they're 100 per print, these are going to either go real fast or just sit there forever.
The first one has sat there for a few days as of this recording, so take that for what you will. And finally, shipping now, and you probably want to get your order in fast if you're going to get this. Kotobukiya's latest Bishojo, I got mine from Amazon just the other day, Jubilee.
Oh, yeah.
It's super cute. I love Jubilee, and I love this outfit, but she's got some serious Daisy Dukes on.
Yeah, I wasn't sure, honestly. The Bishojo line has always teetered right on that line between sexy and over-sexualized, right? And I wondered if they were reining it in a little bit when I started seeing some of the concept art. Jubilee's kind of a younger character. I mean, we got Lady Deadpool, who is entirely spandex clad head to foot. I'm like, yeah, she's in a midriff bearing shirt, but I think it's a little bit more demure than some of the others until I saw her short. There is a little bit of protrusion from the back.
If those had pockets, the inside of the pockets would be hanging down below how short those jeans are. She's also got her little tube top on, and the jacket is short waisted, so it shows off her Daisy Dukes and her tube top.
And a non-functional belt.
Yes.
Yeah, that's hanging way too low. She needs to take that in a notch or two because it's almost going to fall down. It's like a hula hoop.
Yeah.
And it is a quarter of the size of the length of her jeans.
You're right, though. We've talked in the past about how in the Marvel side, they've done a pretty good job of being sexy without being sexualized, you know, as some of the other lines have done. But this one, I feel you're right. It's kind of pushing the envelope a little bit.
It's just because we perceive her as a young character.
I think that has to do with it. It's because I keep thinking of her as like 16. And when I compare it to a Black Widow or a Jean Grey or something, an older character.
I mean, Jean Grey's in her 40s, I'm sure.
Well, maybe it also has to do with the fact that she's wearing somewhat real-world clothing rather than a superhero costume.
Yeah, that's could be very well it, because this is not something that you have to get specialized at the superhero store. She can go buy this at whatever store she buys clothes at.
Then just hem her own jeans much shorter.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think it actually hits that line. I really don't when you compare it to like that Black Widow they did with the brick wall a while back, or some of the really early ones like the Black Cat or some of those, or especially what they do in some of the other lines like Street Fighter. Here, I don't think they've crossed it, but I think you're right. Maybe it's hitting a little harder because anybody could go buy these clothes at a mall. I really like the accessories they've given her, though. I mean, there's the belt you guys mentioned. They also gave her the X pin. It's kind of, she's wearing it almost like a Star Trek The Next Generation communicator on her chest. And an X necklace around her neck there. And yet, I was glad they didn't give her X earrings. She's wearing earrings, but they're not X's. They're just like null symbols or something.
Yeah, when it comes to accessories, you can overdo it, you know?
I'm surprised she doesn't have X chucks on.
Those are pretty cool looking chucks, though.
They are.
I think you had a pair like this, Margaret.
I do have a pair like that somewhere in the house.
And they also gave her two different wrist outfits. On one, she's wearing like a half sleeve. On the other, she has actual movable like bracelets and then like a punk studded wrist piece with a glove.
Hmm. Now, what's the deal with their sunglasses? They've shown different ones. Was something going to be an exclusive somewhere, or did they just change them?
Here's what it is if you get the first production run, you get two pairs of sunglasses. All future Jubilees will come with the rounded pink sunglasses. Well, they're kind of boring. They look like something my grandma would wear.
They look like Elvis's sunglasses, yeah, in pink.
Only the first production comes with the cool 80s square sunglasses.
Those are the ones you think are cool, but the other ones are like grandma ones. See, to me, the 80s ones almost look like those sunglasses that old people wear over their existing glasses.
I'm sorry. I think the rounded ones look like blue blockers.
They do. Absolutely.
Well, I wouldn't wear either pair, but it's just luckily you got both of them and you can make your choice, right?
I love the way the glasses fit. It actually goes under her hair. They have little ridges, and this is an amazing sculpting thing. They sculpted flat pieces in the hair that fit the stems of the glasses perfectly, so they slide in and out and go under the hair like real glasses would.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
Nice.
So you don't have to just sit there. Unfortunately, what that means is she has hair that looks pushed in from her glasses if you decide not to display either pair. It's really a very nice touch that the glasses go under the hair and it slides right in like that. And I love the high gloss on her yellow coat. I mean, it looks like an actual slicker and it has a totally different kind of texture and look than the rest of her outfit.
Well, if it's going to rain, that is not going to keep her dry.
I do appreciate how good they do on creating tones. You know, the jeans have a little bit of an overwash to them. Her skin has a couple different tones to them. So it's not just a plastic looking flesh like an action figure. It actually looks like skin.
And that is nowhere more apparent than her eyes, which have just such a look of life to them. They're a little bit Disney princessy, as in like the big eyes, like the kind of anime eyes. But they have so much detail to them with the eyelashes and everything that they look really good. And with her hand out like that, She's kind of looking side-eyed. It really works very well.
Well, keep in mind, the eyes are one of the things that they like on these figures, too. So they always do these nice big doe eyes.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what it is. And, you know, I took off her glasses here, and it looks like is she's got her hair tucked behind her ear. I don't think it looks bad at all without the glasses. It's actually a really cute hairstyle without the glasses.
That's true. I just noticed it because I was looking, and I can see the slides, but you'd have to be really up close to look for it.
It just kind of looks like she's got her hair behind her ears. It's fine.
Now, I know that when they first announced this, I looked at that art quite a bit, and I had some questions about how they do certain things. If you remember, we talked about this, I think it was New York Comic Con 2 years ago now, almost. Like the 2013 New York Comic Con, I think, when they revealed that art. And I was like, wow, there's so much there. There was that whole base that had like a gym bag with a little Wolverine tag on it and a soda cup and a popcorn thing.
Yeah.
And then her hand, which was extended, had all that Jubilee like lightning bolts and stars coming off of it. And how would they do that? And when we talked to Dan at Toy Fair, if you heard that show, he said, you know, it was a cost measure. They don't want the price of the Bishojo line to go any higher. They know it's a comfortable price point. So to keep them with the rising cost of labor, materials, and everything else, to keep it at the point, what they're going to have to do with Bishojo's going forward, and Jubilee's an example of this, are more simple bases. And they're trying to find a good balance with that. But when we saw Wasp and things at Toy Fair, they said that was the more simple base they're trying to do, which is kind of going back to where they started with the white stair steps and things versus the more intricate things they were doing with like Psylocke and Black Widow with the brick walls and the gardens and all that.
See, I didn't necessarily care for the white stair steps. I kind of like the flame for Phoenix and things like that. I don't know that I need like the wall for Black Widow. And I just looked at all the Bishojos you have, and that's the only one with a plain base.
Yeah, it's going to be the first of many. I sort of like what they did. They made it a very reflective material. So if you have a good overhead light, it's almost like, have you ever had a woman on a skirt stand on top of a mirror?
Oh. Yeah, it's
pretty reflective, huh?
Yeah, it's like shiny acrylic. I don't know how they've done that.
It really is highly, highly reflective. And despite being orange, the colors of what's reflected come through.
Oh, wow. Well, this one's not wearing a skirt or anything. She does have pants on.
But the way they've done it, I don't even know if it was intentional. It's just how it ended up. By having this clear acrylic, it is just highly, highly reflective. And when I was in the photo studio, I'm like, wow, I'll take a picture of the I'm seeing a lot. But no, I think this is a great addition to their Bishojo line. I've always liked the Bishojo line. The amount of motion they get in them, I wish other companies could get in their $400 statues the feeling of life that Kodo gets in their $60 statues. Because the way the coat flares out, it doesn't look fake. It just looks motiony. The way the hair always twists. Bishojos have some of the best hair out there. And you were talking about the style, but I like the way the wisps kind of come off of it and really gives a three-dimensional, the amount of sculpting they put in the hair is just amazing. And the pose is so dynamic that even without the little bursts or however they might have done it on the hand, I like it just like she's kind of in a pose. It really is a nice piece. And I'd suggest getting your order in while you can still get one of the first production runs and get the square glasses if you're like me and like the 80s look. If you're like Justin and think they're old people glasses, well, you can wait.
See, I'm not all in on Bishojo, and I'm kind of the type of guy that, like, if I see him at a con or they're a con exclusive and they catch my eye, I'm like, yeah, why not? I get caught up in the moment. This is one that I can definitely see myself picking up if it was just sitting there at a store. You know, I'm not going to order it, but if I ran into one, it's colorful enough and dynamic enough that I might just pull the trigger.
I highly suggest keeping an eye out because a lot of the Kotobukiya, the ArtFX Plus and the Bishojos, you can get bargains on.
Yep.
And I've found that out the hard way. I don't pre-order these anymore because I've just found I can save $20 to $30 per statue by not ordering. Right now, you can get this as low as $53 at Amazon, and MSRP is $70.
Well, there you go.
And that is our show for this week. But man, we have more legends to tell you about next show, because our Spider-Man legends have already arrived, that entire wave with Anti-Venom and Spider-Man and the Build a Hobgoblin. And so we'll have all of that to review on the next episode.
Bye, honey bunnies.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Marvelicious Toys. If you enjoyed this podcast, please help our show by leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes. There's even more Marvelicious content at our website, marvelicioustoys.com. At the site, you can see pictures of the products we discussed, find checklists for Marvel toys, talk and trade toys in the Marvelicious forums, and much more. It's all at marvelicioustoys.com. You can see more videos and reviews by subscribing to the Marvelicious Toys YouTube channel. You can find the link from our homepage. We want to hear your thoughts on Marvel collectibles. You can leave reports of your latest toy finds as well as product reviews on our voicemail at 803-MARVEL-4. That's 803-627-8354. Or email an MP3 or iPhone voice memo to show@marvelicioustoys.com. Marvelicious Toys is produced and edited by Arnie Carvalho. Marvelicious Podcast video enhancement by Andrew, Daryl, Josh, and Barrett. Marvelicious website design by Jason. Graphic design by Justin. Photo editing by Curtis and Jeff. Announcements by Brock. If you also like Star Wars collecting is covered at our other podcast, Star Wars Action News, which you can find at swactionnews.com. If you want to hear reviews of every movie ever based on Marvel Comics, check out those reviews and hundreds more on the Now Playing Podcast at nowplayingpodcast.com. Marvel Comics and all that the Marvel Multiverse contains are the intellectual property of Marvel Entertainment Incorporated, a subsidiary of the Walt Disney Company, and no infringement is intended. Marvelicious Toys is a Venganza Media production, copyright 2015, all rights reserved, and no part of this show may be reproduced, repurposed, or redistributed without the written permission of Venganza Media Incorporated.
Oliver Twist was a thief and a pickpocket.
I understand. I know who Oliver Twist is. I just think it's a very, very odd reference to make. You know, I used to be my recurring and famous role that I played for years in the figure skating club was the Artful Dodger in the Christmas production of Oliver Twist.
Okay. Just making sure you've had a weird look on your face.
I'm just not used to hearing people reference Oliver Twist.
I had the first couple waves back in the 80s. I was the appropriate age for that and looking for something new now that Star Wars wasn't being made anymore.
Were you of an inappropriate age for some of your toys?
Yes, I shouldn't be buying action figures at 40.
That's true.
Some bad hips and crotch articulation, but...
wait a second. Rewind. How is a crotch articulated? What kind of action figure is this?
It's a hot toy.
I'll say it is.
But, I mean, look at what you're paying for with that 3 inches. Because Iron... It just reminds me of this girl I went to high school with sophomore year. And some of the more rude kids in my class said, if I drop some change, would you pick it up for me?
Did she pick it up?
No.
Oh.
Rude or innovative?